All right, episode 7 is here of the Just Absolutely Boxing Podcast. I'm Anthony with my man P.
What's up, y'all?
And today we got another good episode for y'all. Today we're going to go back and look at the first half of this year in boxing. You know, it's been one of the best years so far, best first halves of the year. So we're going to just kind of go back to January and take a look at all the fights from January to June, do that little 6-month year in review, and just kind of look at the significant fights that happened this year. And then we're just going to give each fight a little grade and, you know, just go from there. But before we do that, what's been going on with you, P?
Not too much, eh? I'm a little under the weather today, but, you know, the show must go on.
Got you. And, you know, I know we did check out the Mayweather-McGregor card just a little bit, you know. What happened, pretty much, right?
Right. I mean, what I thought was going to happen, you know, so I'm just saying, you know, we already knew what was going to happen. And then
I do have to give a shout-out to Badu Jack on his performance against Nathan Cleverly for that WBA light heavyweight belt.
That was the undercard was solid. There were some decent fights on the undercard.
Yeah, there was, so, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, you know.
Shout out to Tank.
Yeah, shout out to Tank.
He didn't make weight. He lost his belts, but he went and got the knockout. So, you know, he still got the W. So, he's young. He still got a lot to learn.
Yeah, that whole event, it was a learning experience for him. So, you know, I ain't gonna can't bash a young kid who, like you said, he just skyrocketed to the top with Mayweather, and he's on the biggest card of his life. Probably gonna be the biggest card of his career. You know what I mean?
Yes, dude. A stage that big, it's crazy.
Yeah, man.
Kid from Pennsylvania Avenue, it's crazy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, and the Steve USS and Tabidi fight was a pretty good fight, you know. Tabidi pulled it out.
He used to knockouts, but he fought a disciplined fight. You know, he used to those knockouts, but he kind of fought a disciplined fight this go around. So,
Steve was gay. He was the older man, but he still was in the game. He was in shape. Mm-hmm. He was good.
Yeah, that's pretty much all we're going to say about that. You know, we're not going to do a whole big thing about it. It happened, and I'm just glad it's over. Now we can move on to Canelo Triple G when that happens, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, let's go ahead and get on to this 6-month year in review, or first half of review. You know, 2017, it's already been one of the best years in boxing in a while, you know, for me so far. You know, it's just it's been kicked off with some of the best matches that could be made, and it's crazy because, you know, we got more coming. Like I said, Canelo Triple G, you know, we had Terrence Crawford and Julius Ndongo, and, you know, we're not even close to the end of this year yet. So what we're going to kind of do is go back and look at the top significant fights that took place the first half of this year, January through June, and we're just going to grade each fight with an A and an F. We're going to grade each bout on the matchup and the result, and then after that we're just going to do a little honorable mention to some of the other fights that turned out to be, you know, some good knockouts, exciting fights, or, you know, fights that just included champions and so on. But you know, of course, like I said, Crawford and Dongo, that happened in the second half of this year, so we won't be grading that fight. So you ready, P?
I'm ready.
All right, so the first big fight that happened was actually in March. It was on March 4th, Keith Thurman versus Danny Garcia. As you know, Keith Thurman, he won that fight by unanimous decision, put on pretty much a good boxing show. That fight, as far as matchup, I had to give it an A. Cause, you know, Danny Garcia, he moved up from 140. And this was a unification bout, so I had to give that an A. As far as the result, I would give it a B+. Cause I think Keith Thurman, he could have closed the show, but at times he kind of fought a smart fight. He just wanted to play it safe. But yeah, I kind of would like to see him close the show on Danny Garcia. What about you, man?
Now, this was a fight that had to grow on me, to be honest, because I like both guys, but I'm not a huge fan of either guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think the fight would be that interesting, but the closer that it got, it did start to pique my interest. So, I mean, for the matchup originally, I gave it a B.
Mm-hmm.
They both young, solid, you know, competitors. That's what I like to see, you know. And as far as the outcome, I mean, it's pretty much what I expected. I mean, I gave the outcome a B minus because, I mean, like you say, both of them are good fighters. Keith Thurman, he played it safe. You know, Danny Garcia's, you know, he's kind of looking for that big left hook. And it wasn't exciting as it could have been, but I gave it a B minus.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, yeah, definitely. Because Keith Thurman, he kind of started strong in that first half, like he wanted to knock him out, but I think that, you know, Danny Garcia, his power is always there, so he just kind of started playing it safe. But I know a lot of fans thought he played it too safe, and that's why some people were actually trying to argue and say, ah, Danny, he pressed the action. He kind of won the second half, but it was pretty much a unanimous decision. You can't argue with that.
Yeah.
So moving on to the next big fight, it was just a few weeks later. Gennady Golovkin versus Daniel Jacobs on March 18th. And in this fight, Gennady, he won a tough unanimous decision. I know a lot of people argue that Danny Jacobs won the fight. I kind of felt that he did pull out the win by a real close decision. You know, some people felt Golovkin was exposed a little bit. I kind of felt that way, just a little. But the matchup, I had to give it an A because, you know, there were no other middleweights out there. They were the best in the division. You know, Danny Jacobs, he knocking people out. Golovkin, he's knocking people out. So who else is there for them but to fight each other? As far as the result, I had to give the result a B- because I felt like Triple G, he actually kind of met his match and he couldn't really handle that pressure of, you know, fighting like a slick boxer like Danny Jacobs. And for Danny Jacobs, I felt like I just felt he won that fight, and the result kind of just made me give it a, almost wanted to give it a C, but I had to give it a B minus just because, you know, it's the two best in the division facing off. What about you, man?
Now I hate these fights because both of these are my guys right here, so
mm-hmm.
I mean, I hate doing this, but I love what they're doing. So I'm a diehard Triple G fan. I'm a Jacobs fan for the matchup. And this is the thing, for the matchup, it was still kind of crazy because a lot of people thought that Danny Jacobs didn't have a chin. So if Danny Jacobs doesn't have a chin, he ain't gonna last a second with Triple G. So the matchup was kind of, I had mixed feelings. A lot of people had mixed feelings on it, so I gave it a B for the matchup.
Okay.
But for the outcome, you know, the outcome, it wasn't what I expected. You know, I mean, I didn't expect Jacobs to go the distance. I didn't expect Jacobs to make Triple G look bad like that. You know, but, you know, his defense, I mean, I think that was Jacobs' boxing at a high level. Everybody's not going to be able to do that, eh?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We seen that Danny Jacobs was special that night. He did. But, you know, nobody wanted to get in there with Triple G. You know, there's a guy that people can't take a punch, and he gets in there and goes the distance, and a lot of people argue and say that he could have pulled it out. But, you know, my belief is, you know, you gotta kind of take the belt from the champion, and these fights need to be more decisive when you want to put it up for debate. I mean, it can always be debated, but, you know, a clean-cut win is a clean-cut win, you know. So the outcome, I gave it an A,
mm-hmm.
you know, because
okay.
It definitely turned out to be better than I thought, you know what I'm saying? Like I say, and it's hard for me because I'm a big fan of both these guys. I didn't want to see either guy lose, but somebody had to lose. So, but it was a real competitive and it was a close fight. It wasn't, you know, it is one of those fights, I guess, that could be argued because, you know, depending on which you were counting the fight on. But
yeah, because I think that maybe I was really just watching it with emotion at the time, where this was the first time I had seen a guy actually do these things at Triple G and make him look basic. Mm-hmm. So it kind of made me give him more of the rounds than he deserved, maybe. Maybe that's just how I was feeling. But it's one of those fights I would actually have to go back and maybe reanalyze and say maybe Golovkin did win. But yeah, Daniel Jacobs, he just fought like a guy that wasn't scared of him. So
yeah. Much respect, Daniel Jacobs too, man.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely, because you know, he, like we said, he's a guy that beat cancer. He came back from a pretty hard knockout, and that knockout came at a time when he was dealing with personal issues, and that could have been a factor the first time he got knocked out, you know. And that's why a lot of people probably judged him off.
I mean, the thing about that man, we know he got a chin.
He got a chin.
It's smashed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you went 12 with Daniel Jacobs, you can take a punch. I mean, you went 12 with Triple G, you can take a punch.
You can take a punch.
That's that.
Yeah. So, moving on, this was I don't know if they're going to top this. This is probably the biggest heavyweight fight of the year. On April 29th, Anthony Joshua versus Vladimir Klitschko. And you know how this fight ended. It had some drama in there, you know, some back and forth moments. You thought Klitschko was going to be out. You thought Joshua was going to be out. But Joshua, he came behind the back and, you know, scored that big right uppercut that about took Klitschko's head off, and from there Klitschko, he got dropped how many more times, like 2 or 3 times, and the referee just went on and stopped it. And you know, this was the fight that put Anthony Joshua on the map as the you know, A side now. People see him as the A side heavyweight, and you know, everybody's wanting him now. So you know, Luis Ortiz, there's supposed to be a rematch, but Klitschko, you know, he just retired. So, you know, Anthony Joshua is the man right now. So, as far as result, I mean, not result, but as far as a matchup, I had to give this one an A. Because you had the big knockout puncher in Anthony Joshua facing off against, you know, the old school veteran. And Klitschko, he was just trying to come back after his loss to Tyson Fury. And, you know, that was just a matchup, you know, boxer versus puncher. And for result, I had to give it an A-. A-, I just gave it I could have gave it A+, but I felt like Joshua, his boxing skill, he's still kind of growing into it, and he really made up for it with, you know, just his style. You know, he's a good puncher. You know, and Klitschko, he's not a guy you can count out either. You know, he likes to box, but he has the power to hurt you just with a basic jab and a right hand, and that's what he was hurting Joshua with. But, you know, Joshua, he countered that with that power, and he was able to, you know, have youth on his side and knock Klitschko out. It's on you, P.
Well, for the matchup, I gave it an A. For the simple fact, I thought it would be a good gauge for Anthony. You know, he's still a work in progress, but it was a good test to see how he would fare with a veteran and former world champion like Vladimir. You know, So for the matchup, you know, like I said, I think it was a solid matchup. Now, the outcome was very interesting because, you know, you had the Anthony Joshua's what, 26, 20, he's like, Klitschko got like 10, 15 years on him, you know, so you had the young guy in there with the old guy, and you just got to see that you can never count the old guy out. Round 7, I mean, he dropped Anthony and hurt him bad.
Bad.
Now, had Klitschko been the Klitschko 5 years ago, Joshua wouldn't have made it out that fight. So, You know, but he did come back from a big knockdown and was able to just overwhelm Klitschko and, you know, get him out of there. Wound up stopping him or whatever. So it turned out to be a great heavyweight fight, to be honest. You know, it wasn't what I expected. And Anthony Joshua definitely earned a little bit more respect from me because, you know, he's very marketable. It's a lot of things is going to go his way just because of, you know, who he is. You know, whereas other boxers, it won't go so smoothly. So he earned some respect with me, showed me he had some heart, you know, coming from a big knockdown like that, because he was hurt bad. That could have been it.
Yeah, because, so, when he was laying down, it looked like he could have just said, you know, forget it.
Forget it, man.
I'm laying here.
You know, for the matchup, I gave it an A+, because it definitely it was better than I expected it to be.
Mm-hmm. So you gave it an A for matchup and an A+ for result, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Think any heavyweight fight's going to top this one, man, this year?
If we can get the heavyweights in there this year, because mm-hmm. there's so much going on with, you know, Ortiz. They say he's playing the fence, trying to wait to see if AJ is going to fight him, or does he need to jump in there with Wilder. So if we can get Ortiz in there with a Wilder or an AJ before the end of the year, I don't know, man. We might top it.
Yeah, because
we might top it.
Yeah, I think that's the only way it's going to top is, you know, if we get AJ in there with one of the prime guys of now, because word is AJ has till September 3rd to make a choice to fight Luis Ortiz, or they're going to strip him of the belt. And I'm like, Ortiz, you know, I got to give him credit because he's been waiting for so long now. He's been waiting since like March. Or no, he's been waiting since April, because whoever won the Klitschko-Joshua fight, he was supposed to be the mandatory.
He was supposed to be the mandatory,
which, you know, he's just been waiting since then. You would think that, hey, let him get his shot. So that's why I'm saying, like, Anthony Joshua versus Klitschko is probably going to be the biggest fight of this year, because we still don't see any paperwork or any signing for, you know, one of these heavyweight fights. And it's almost... Yeah, September, October. We got 4 more months for it to happen, so we'll see, man.
Yeah, we'll see, man. Ortiz is playing a waiting game right now because he's the older guy. He has to make the most strategic moves right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So he wants to see if Joshua's going to vacate that title, because he's like, he'll be gifted the belt.
Yeah.
So he'll be gifted the belt if that happens. And then he can fight Wilder and unify some belts. So, I mean, it's a business move on Ortiz, and I ain't mad at him, man.
Mm-hmm. So, moving on to May 6th. This was billed as one of the biggest fights. Canelo Alvarez versus Julio Cesar Chavez Jr.
Oh, my goodness.
It was, you know, it was seen as a big fight, and I say that because it sold a lot of pay-per-views, and a lot of people were saying that Golden Boy robbed them because they sold it off these big names. You know, Canelo, you know, he's probably the biggest name in boxing whenever Floyd retires, and then you got Chavez Jr. living off his father's name. So a lot of people wanted to see it. Mexican fans, they wanted to see this fight, and they thought Chavez Jr. was going to come back with something, but fighting that Canelo weight, Canelo had pretty much every advantage. You know, he just outboxed Chavez Jr., who kind of looked weak and depleted it to me. He never really had anything. He didn't really commit to his style where he's trying to bum rush you or, you know, just brawl with you. He was trying to box from the outside, so Canelo just had his way with him. You know, jab, right hand, beating him up a little bit, which they probably could have stopped it when he was tattooing Chavez up. So matchup, I had to give it a C. Probably should have gave it a little bit lower, but I gave it a C because I gave Chavez Jr. a chance. You know, I thought it was going to be like just an all-out brawl. Not really a significant fight, but just all-out, you know, exciting fight between the two. And for result, I gave it a D-, man. I had to give it a D minus because Chavez Jr., he didn't come to fight Canelo. He know he didn't really need to be in the ring with Chavez Jr. at Canelo weight. So, yeah, D minus. If you want to know why, just watch the fight.
Yeah.
Your call, P.
I'm like you and a lot of other people with this one. It had me hyped. I just knew it was going to be a brawl. You know, you got two big names. You know, you got Mexico, respective Mexico on the line. I mean, it just was so many things. And I just thought that this would be a much better fight than it turned out to be. So for the matchup, like you had, I gave it a B. You know what I'm saying? But like you said, with the weight thing and Chavez Jr., he looked like he was committed to this training camp and looked like he was in shape, but the weight just looked like it just took it out of him. And it just was a one-sided shellacking that, and it wasn't what I expected. For the outcome, I gave it a C. Chavez Jr. just had nothing.
Yeah.
And it was hard to watch.
Because it really looked like he had time to focus on like training. He was just so worried about the weight. Because like, if he didn't make weight, he was going to lose like what, $2 million of his purse?
Yeah.
So that's probably what was on his mind most of the training camp. He was like, I can't lose this money. And like, he was dropping all that weight. You see how his eyes looked in the pictures he was in? He just looked weak, man.
Yeah. He looked terrible. Now, I had seen some footage of him throughout his training camp. He was looking really good. He was chiseled up a little bit, but come the weigh in, yeah, he looks
fit. And yeah, like I said, this fight, it sold a lot of pay-per-views and a lot of people were mad. They really wanted their money back because they were like, this ain't the fight that they wanted. So it just wasn't a good look. I can't say it was a significant fight. I just consider it one of the biggest fights because
it could have been.
Oh, I'm sorry. What were you going to say?
I was saying it could have been significant, though. That's the thing about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It could have been something really big, but it just didn't do what we thought it was going to do.
No, it didn't. Well, you know, Canelo, he's finally making the right choice, though. He has a chance to redeem himself on our list, though, with this fight coming up. Because, you know, I'm a Canelo fan, you know. So, but moving on. Now, this is the fight. This is the fight right here, man. Probably the best fight that could have been made at welterweight on May 27th, Kell Brook versus Errol Spence. Kell Brook, he was coming back after his loss to Triple G to defend his IBF title. And, Errol Spence, he's been in line waiting for that title defense. And, you know, he's been saying Kell Brook. He wants Kell Brook. And, you know, he got Kell Brook. And, you know, for 11 rounds, it was a competitive fight. You know, Kell Brook, he was using his physical strength and his boxing skill. He had pretty good boxing skill. But Errol Spence, he was just a fresher guy. His body punching is crazy, man. It's deadly. And he was just able to wear Kell Brook down and break his other eye socket also. And finally, you know, Errol Spence, you know, he was just able to close the show and make Kell Brook stand down. For a matchup, I have to give it an A+ because it was the two of the best guys in the welterweight division facing off. The only other fight was, Thurman and Garcia. But I had to give this an A+ because, you know, these guys, they just had, you know, they both have about the same size and they both have that physical strength that you just want to see match up. And I just really wanted to see, you know, Errol Spence prove himself, and he did that. So for result, I have to give it a result, the A. I give it an A because, You know, it was good back and forth action, kind of like Joshua Klitschko. You know, Kell Brook had his moments, but Errol Spence, he stayed committed to what he was doing. Even when he was losing rounds, he just kept breaking Kell Brook down until he finally stopped him. And yeah, I have to say that was probably the best welterweight fighter this year so far. What you think, man?
Yeah, I gotta agree with you on that one. It definitely was a good fight. I'm a fan of both guys, really, but this was a fight to see who goes to the next level, and that's what Spence did. So for the matchup, I thought the matchup was an A, because it you know, at the end of the day, too, these are two guys that nobody wants to fight.
Exactly.
So they had to fight each other. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I commend them for that. So the matchup was an A. Even though going into the fight, I thought, not necessarily thought, but I was kind of wondering would, you know, Kell Brook style and size be too much for, you know, Errol Spence? Because Errol Spence, I mean, he's still kind of a new guy in the game, even though he's been, you know, behind the scene for a few years, you know, doing things, whatever. He's still kind of a new guy, but he actually does have some experience because he's been around, you know, world champions, you know, sparring. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't know if it would be too much for him, but he rose to the occasion. You know, he wound up, you know, like you say, breaking that other orbital bone, and it was a wrap after that. It would have been good to see this fight if that injury didn't happen. What would have happened, because it was very back and forth and a really exciting fight.
Yeah.
But, for the result, I gave it an A-, and, you know, only because the injury prevented Campbell from finishing out the fight. I would have really liked to see what would have happened, you know, had that injury not occurred. But it was a great fight, and Errol Spence was the better man that night, and I'm not mad at him for that. I'm looking forward to seeing him do some more great things at 147, maybe up to 160. We'll see.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He definitely got the size, man. And another thing, too, yeah, that just adds to the result is an A. You know, Errol Spence, he went over to the UK with all that pressure on him.
Oh, yeah.
And stopped him, took the belt.
Yeah, being a new guy too.
Being,
you know,
a new guy.
Having that, you know, as Floyd always says, I've been here before. You know, Spence couldn't say that. That was new for him. So yeah, definitely.
Because it was just funny too. Like Kell Brook tried to compare him to Jeff Lacy, but he, you know, like we know Errol Spence, he's a different animal.
Yeah, and to be honest, I mean, you know, people say anything in the sake of a fight. You know, mental warfare, mind games. He know damn well he wasn't no John Lacy.
Damn right.
He know damn well he wasn't no Jeff Lacy. You know what I'm saying? It's been proven that he wasn't no Jeff Lacy. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, yeah.
You know, I think he knew that, man.
He knew that.
You know, I didn't believe he thought that.
That was something he was using just to try to build up tension, that's all.
Yeah, exactly.
It. Yeah.
And he wished that was Jeff
Lee.
He
wished he was a Jeff Lee. Mm-hmm. But as far as Errol Spence fighting later on this year, I probably say, yeah, that's probably the biggest welterweight fight of the year, and that's probably his biggest fight of the year, because, like, you know, the Keith Thurman fight, that's not going to happen until next year. And, right. Yeah, you know, I'm a Thurman fan, but I can't say that his fight was better. I have to say this Brooks-Spence fight was the best, so definitely, man. But last but not least, this was the fight I've been waiting for. June 17th, Andre Ward versus Sergey Kovalev 2. You know, the first fight, Andre Ward, he won a very close, controversial decision. And ever since the end of that fight, Kovalev, he's just been in bad spirits. Instead of going back to the drawing board to correct those things that he said, you know, where, you know, his little excuses that he said he overtrained. Instead of correcting those things, he just kept making mean, like, tweets and staying on social media, just bashing Andre Ward. Well, Andre Ward, he's in camp improving things. And Virgil Hunter, you know, he stated that, hey, we came up with a plan to knock him out. And lo and behold, you know, when the fight started, Andre Ward, he kept the fight competitive. Kovalev, he kept it kind of competitive. At times, it looked like he was on his road out boxing Ward a little bit, but Ward just stayed with his game plan, breaking the body down and just coming straight forward. He wasn't even scared of Kovalev's power. I mean, he wasn't scared of the first fight, but at this second fight, he was just bullying the bully. And finally, he landed one of them big right hands in round 9. A few more body shots, and the referee had to stop it. They say it was a controversial stoppage, but hey, I mean, when you're sitting on the ropes and you're not answering back, what's the referee supposed to do? But I agree with the stoppage. I mean, I would have liked to seen it go on further. I would like to seen Kovalev get dropped, but matchup, I have to give it an A+, because this was a much needed fight after their first fight. You know, the best pound for pound fighter versus the boogeyman of the division. And for a result, I have to give it an A-, because the minus, because they didn't let Ward knock him out. You know, the referee didn't just let him knock him out, which is what a lot of people wanted to see. But what you think, P?
For me, for the matchup, I gave it an A and not an A+, because it wasn't particularly a fight that I wanted to see Ward in. You know what I mean? They fought once, and you know, Ward got dropped early in the fight. So, going around the second time, I felt more comfortable that it would be easier for Andre Ward. But I gave the matchup an A because, like I say, I mean, I'm an Andre Ward fan. I'm not a Kovalev fan. It's not a fight that Andre Ward, wasn't one of my fantasy fights, so to speak. But, as far as the outcome, it was David and Goliath, man.
Mm-hmm.
The little guy, he went in there and he chopped down the big guy. You know what I mean? He did what he said he was going to do. And I mean, that's just the bottom line. You know, yeah, it was controversial stoppage. Had it went on another second, he would have been laying on the mat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It wasn't going to change the outcome. So it just was like the same old story, you know, the big bully getting bullied, getting beat down, and that's what happened.
Yeah.
So, for the outcome, I gave it an A+, because that's what's up. That's what I wanted to see. I love to see it, the bully get bullied. So the matchup result, yeah, A+. Good fight.
Definitely. So going back, when you said this wasn't really a fight that you wanted to see, did the first win for Ward kind of sit okay with you? As far as, you know, him just winning out a close decision, do you feel like it could just win on and be like, okay, you know, he could go move on?
I mean, it was something, I guess, that had to be done as far as making it a clean cut victory in the fans' minds, mm-hmm. maybe his mind. But I didn't. It wasn't like, even before Ward moved up, I didn't say, oh, I want to see Ward Kovalev. Oh, that's something I want to see. It wasn't something I wanted to see. You know, it turned out to be a decent fight, but it wasn't really something that I thought would have been an intriguing matchup.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
That's just my personal opinion, you know?
Yeah. Like, before the fight happened, like, Kovalev, he was still kind of little known on the map, even to me at times, you know? It was never to the point where I was like, what would the result be if Andre Ward and Kovalev stepped in the ring? You know what I mean?
Right.
It wasn't really like that for me, honestly, because I always just kind of felt that Ward would have had the style to beat him anyway if they did, like when people started mentioning it. Then when the fight happened, then I kind of jumped on that train a little bit more and was like, hey, this might be the only big fight for Ward, but it didn't really pull into pay-per-views, you know, either fight. But it was just a good, solid win for Ward, both fights.
Yeah.
because it just shows you that he's untouchable right now. Because even after he beat even after Kovalev beat Hopkins, I wasn't really like getting the ring with Andre Ward. The fight that I wanted to see was Kovalev versus Adonis Stevenson.
Exactly.
Because you
know that's a matchup that maybe both of these guys at 175, they're big punchers. I want to see that. I didn't want to see Ward, a small guy coming from 160, not a big puncher, going up to face anybody that, and to be honest, it just wasn't intriguing to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the most intriguing fight that could have been made to me for Andre Ward would be him and Triple G at 168.
Exactly.
Intriguing fight. Intriguing. Yeah. Fights out there. But intriguing to me.
Yeah, Ward Triple G at 168. That's the fight that I honestly wanted to see over Ward Kovalev. While that fight happened, there, yeah, Kovalev versus Stevenson. Because, yeah, Kovalev and Stevenson, they're full-fledged light heavyweights. Both got some belts. Both are cleaning out division. They both have similar opponents. You know, they both share same opponents. They both got knockout power. Why that fight never happened?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's like that made sense to me that I wanted to see. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For all that stuff you just said, him and Andre Ward didn't have that make no sense at that time necessarily.
Because even with the racial stuff, remember like calling Adonis Stevenson a monkey? That kind of built up tension to make you want to see this fight.
Yeah.
That was like a big part of it, like. Adonis Stevenson would be like, he calling me a monkey? Shit, I'm going to sign this fight. And that should have been like a big part of the selling point of that fight. That's why I was like, man, this fight needs to happen. But, you know, Andre Ward moves up and he takes him on instead twice. Not once, but twice. But yeah, sometimes things like that happen in boxing. You know, it's the powers that be, man.
Yeah, but see, that's a good thing too, because like I say, it's not a fight that I wanted to see, but they turned out to be good fights.
It did.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, they turned out to be good fights. So I mean, like you say, the powers that be, they know best most of the time, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just for me, I didn't want to see it, but it turned out to be a good, really good fight, both of them.
And yeah, like I said too, when I go back to Andre Ward, it was a fight that he needed, where it kind of brought the best out of him. Both fights did, you know, whereas Kovalev Adonis Stevenson, it could have just ended in a knockout. But looking at it in Andre Ward's shoes, it was kind of like a fight, like the first fight, where he had to dig deep and find a way to win, where the second fight he wanted to redeem himself, and he kind of pulled like a Sugar Ray Leonard, you know, like that one light heavyweight he fought, Donnie Lalonde. You know, he came back and knocked the guy out, knocked the bigger man out.
Yeah.
And that kind of sealed him as kind of like a throwback fighter to me. So,
but it put everybody on notice that this kid, Andre Ward, he can rise to the occasion.
Yeah, he can fight. He's not just a boxer. He's a pit bull.
All the fighters on notice that they can get it.
Yeah, he's a fighter. He ain't just a boxer. He can fight you. He can beat you up. But yeah, man, that's probably like the biggest fight for Andre Ward at light heavyweight. I don't really see any other fights except the Stevenson fight, and I don't think that's going to happen right now. Do you?
Not in the immediate future. And
yeah,
I
don't see
any talks of
it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, those are the biggest fights that happened this year. Going back and looking at some honorable mentions, you know, just some fights that ended in knockouts. There were some pretty good fights too. Badu Jack versus James DeGale. You know, back on January 13th, that was a good back and forth fight. James DeGale, he lost some teeth in there, and the fight ended in a draw. It could have went Badu Jack's way. Some people say it could have went DeGale's way. I kind of gave the fight to Badu Jack. What'd you think of that fight?
I thought it was a good test for both guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Badu Jack, hey, he's a real likable guy. He finds a way to win, you know, after suffering that, you know, first round knockout. a few years back. He seemed like he's back on his horse, and he's going his way up.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a good matchup, and I thought it was a good fight.
Some other fights that were good that I didn't know would go certain ways was Sammy Vasquez versus Luis Collazo. Luis Collazo, he knocked Sammy Vasquez out in 6 rounds. Deontay Wilder versus Gerald Washington. David Lemieux versus Curtis Stevens. That was a good fight. I know you liked that fight, right?
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, because you was telling me about that at work one day. That was a good knockout.
Hey, before we forget, I want to mention a fight. It wasn't from the first half of this year. It's from the second half of this year, but it hasn't really been getting any attention, any promotion, but the Cotto fight from this weekend, I didn't get a chance to see it. And two people, a female and a few males, came to me and said, man, you got to go see it. So I watched it on YouTube, and that was an awesome fight. So definitely, Cotto fight deserves some recognition. Did you see it, Ed?
Yeah, Yoshiri comic guy versus Miguel Cotto. Yeah, I actually got a chance to watch it, man. And like, I still think Cotto, he's missing, you know, he's not the same Cotto, but he put on a really good show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because, yeah, I meant to mention that at the beginning, but man, like, you know, the Mayweather McGregor thing just overshadowed everything, man.
And that's what I mean. Like, you know, you had a solid fight that didn't get this, because that fight that wasn't solid was going on. That makes no sense.
Sure, yeah, man. So I gotta say, shout out to Miguel Cotto. You know, he's still putting on good shows. He throws some nice punches too, man. That's one thing I gotta say about him, man. Like, some of the punches weren't really like hurting comic guy, but she throws some nice punches, man. Cotto knows how to put on the show, man. So
yeah.
But another good fight that happened this year was Sean Porter versus Andre Berto, where he stopped Andre Berto in like 9 rounds. What'd you think of that fight?
I didn't think Berto would get stopped. That's for sure. I mean, not that he's unstoppable, but I just didn't see him getting stopped coming off the, you know, Floyd Mayweather fight. You amped up, you feeling good coming off a fight like that. Nice payday, and I just thought he would have more, but Sean Porter took it to him.
Man, because, you know, sometimes Porter, he can smother his own punches, but he looked a little bit more disciplined in this fight, and he was jabbing the hell out of Andre Berto, man, this fight, and he was just, you know, really taking it to him. So after that fight, I have to say, you know, Andre Berto probably should hang it up, man.
Yeah.
That was probably his best. Yeah. One of his last, you know, last wars that he can take, man. And let's see. Another good fight was Terrence Crawford versus Felix Diaz. You know, Terrence Crawford, he is who he is, man. He puts on, you know, he has that gift, man, that just can't nobody beat him. You know, they thought Felix Diaz was going to be the guy, but took it to him and stopped him in 10 rounds. And another fight, Adonis Stevenson versus Fanfara. Fanfara, he probably shouldn't have been in the ring with him. You know, granted, he'd been knocked out two fights before that by Joe Smith. You know, Stevenson, he took it to him with that left hand and knocked him out in 2 rounds. So it was an exciting knockout, but I don't think it was a fight that Fanfara should have been in. You saw that one, right?
Yeah, I did see it. Yeah. I mean, I didn't know it was gonna go like that. I mean, I like Fanfara, and he does have some power, and I thought he might get Adonis, but didn't go that way.
Right, yeah, because they had a little history. You know, he dropped Stevenson in their first fight, but I think he was still feeling the results of that last fight against Joe Smith, man. So, any other fights that you wanted to mention?
No, I think they covered the bulk of the good stuff, and to be honest.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, all of those, you know, main events from January to June, you rarely get that in boxing. You know what I mean? Like, there's always some political going on that kind of stops those type of fights, that stops those fights from happening. But, you know, you had plenty of unification bouts happening, and, you know, they got more to come this year. You know, like I said, Terrence Crawford and Julius Ndongo, second half, you know, they did it for all the belts. So hopefully we get that Thurman and Spence fight. All right, y'all. So that's pretty much all we got. It's about time to wrap it up. So, yeah, make sure you check us out at thejabeffect.com to hear the Just Absolutely Boxing podcast, or go to iTunes to subscribe to the Just Absolutely Boxing podcast. Also on SoundCloud, just type in #JabPodcast. And you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook at The Jab Effect. Again, my name's Anthony.
It's your boy P.
And we are signing off. See you guys later. Peace.
Peace.